Good morning. Today's Daffing Sufis is Kuf Yud. We're starting with the Mishnah on the very top of Kuf Yud Amud Aleph. We're up to number six. Admon has seven halachas, some of which we follow, some of which we don't follow halacha, but seven halachas total in total by Admon. We are in the final parak of the Masechta, and we're winding down. We're finishing up the Masechta. A couple more days to go. Today's Daf tomorrow, and then Wednesday we conclude the Masechta. So here in the in almost the penultimate Daf of the Masechta, so we're going to finish up on the Gzeiros of Admon. In this parak, so the parak is brought to you by the numbers 2 and 7. Two Gzeiros that were introduced to us by Hanan, both supported by Rav Yochanan and Zakkai. And then seven Gzeiros that were introduced to us by Admon. Some of them are supported by Rebbe Gamliel, some of them are not supported by Rebbe Gamliel. And so today's daf, we're going to be concluding now. We're going to be learning number 6 and 7. And then we're going to follow up, we're going to start the one of the more popular discussions in the Masechta. It's interesting that at the very tail end of the Masechta, so perhaps one of the most popular discussions, and that is that the we're going to have a 3-day discussion regarding what happens when one of the spouses wants to go to Eretz Yisrael and the other one does not. One of the spouses wants to leave Eretz Yisrael and the other one does not. And what do we do under those circumstances? So that's coming up in today's daf. In the meantime, however, we're still that's the second half of today's daf. We're right now in the first half of today's daf. Hamosi Sharchova Chavera. So this is all monetary issues. This has nothing to do with marriage. And as I already pointed out, meaning that as long as we're stringing together all the psukim of Admon, so some of them are related to marriage, but some of them are not. And over here, as we're going through all seven, so a lot of the seven have nothing to do with marriage. So over here, what happens is as follows. Amosi Sharchova Chavero. So I now am holding a note against you. So let's say, for example, Phil, I say you owe me money. I don't just say you owe me money. But I have a note outstanding saying that you owe me money, so I'm holding a note against you. And now what you do is you come back at me and you say, you know, that's interesting. You know, I sold you a property and, right, we have the paperwork to show it, that I sold you a property. And I sold you the property after you, quote unquote, lent me the money. Now, let me ask you a simple question. Phil, this is going to be your question to me. I'll ask you a simple question, right? You claim that you that I owe you money. Right, this is Phil talking. So you claim that I owe you money. That's it. That's interesting. So why then is it that you allowed me to sell you property? Meaning, how about this? How about instead of selling me property, how about in terms of instead of a sale, how about you just simply collect the money that's owed to you, that you claim is owed to you? How about that? So by virtue of the fact that right now we both agree that there was a sale that occurred afterwards, that pretty much shows that your note is no longer valid. Now, why isn't it valid? So you look at Rashi over here. So in other words, included in Phil's Taina, Halo ve'hotzi alav shtar mechira, me'ucheres l'shtar halva, ve'omer sh'shtarcha mizuyaf, o parua. So either Phil can say, look, the shtar that I'm holding against him right now, the note I'm holding against him, maybe it's a forged note, maybe it's a paid note. In other words, there are many ways to suggest that the note is not good. But right now, there is a really strong piece of evidence that the note is not good, and that is that Phil sold me a property subsequent to that. And if, in fact, he really did owe me money, so rather than buy the property, I should have just collected the money as payment for my obligation. What we seem to have over here is an outstanding argument by Phil. In other words, Phil's argument is much better than my argument, right? I'm saying he owes me money. Now, granted, I have a note, and holding a note usually is really strong. But Phil's counter argument of why then did you buy property from me? That's an outstanding argument. So Admon Omer Yachol Hu Shomer Ilu Aisi Chayav Lacha Hayelachali Parish Eshacha Kishemachati Lesasada. So Admon says Phil's argument is so outstanding, it's going to win. His argument is going to beat my argument. My argument is that he owes me money because I'm holding a note. His argument is, why did you allow me to sell your property? What you should have done is you should have just collected the money out of satisfaction of the obligation. So by virtue of the fact that the sale of the property went through, that is a good reflection of the fact that the original note, my note that I was holding against him, is no longer any good. The Chacham Amorim, no, the Zaya Pikech, Shemacha Lo Esakarka Mimnei, Shehu Yachla Mashkeno. And what the Chachamim will tell you is that no. In other words, what happens over here is the following. Do you know what it is? What it is that I wanted him to do is I wanted him to have property. In other words, right now he is my borrower, but he was my borrower with no property. Now a borrower with no property, it's gonna be a tough position. So what I wanted him to do was I want him to have property. I sold him the property even though he owes me money. Yeah. In other words, the Chachamim's counter argument, Pikeach, I'm so smart. Why am I so smart? Now that he has property, so I can go ahead and I can take that property as collateral against against the obligation. Okay. Even as the Chachamim say this, by the way, we're all looking at each other, thinking to ourselves, I don't know, is that really so smart? meaning, if really the truth of the matter is he owes me money, and right now he has money as he's ready to buy my property, so why not just collect the money, just collect the money for the note, right? So smart. Okay, so
the money is not collateral, well, the land is.
No, but I'm saying, but if okay, good. Okay, good. All right. So what we need is the Gemara. In other words, right at this point in time in the Mishnah, Admon's point seems to be so overwhelmingly strong that we have to understand the Chachamim. The Chachamim know what they're talking about. We just have to understand it better. The Gemara is going to help us understand it better. So my time at the Rabbanan Shapi Kamar Admon. So the Gemara says, yeah, exactly. Admon's right. Meaning if in fact I'm holding a note against you and the note is valid and right now I have an opportunity to take your money, just take the money. You're getting so complicated over here. Yeah, but now he's got property and now I can go ahead and collateralize the loan against the property. Just take the money. Okay, so the Gemara says, look, but also the Avi Zuziv Adakas Vishtare, Kule Amalo Plig Damatsi Amrale, Hayal Khalafrosa, Eshacha Kishamartila Kishamachartila Lias Asada. So the Gemara says, look, if the minig is that first what you do is you collect the money and then afterwards you give the shtar. And the Gemara over here points out the following. Look, in every transaction, there's going to be an exchange, right? And that's the whole nature of a transaction. Now, who moves first, right? So it seems to be in the Gemara function of minhagim, right? Some have the minhag that first I'll give you the money and then I'll get the shtar. Some have the minhag, no, first I'll give you the shtar and then I'll give you the money. Okay, right? It's interesting. I don't know what this is a predicate of. I don't really have a good svar in terms of why it is that the minhagim vary, but okay, there varies minhagim. So if the minhag is that first the money gets transferred, so then no, you can't argue with Admon. You can't. In other words, I'm holding a note against you. And so now, what do we want to do? We want to negotiate the sale of a property? Fine. Okay, fine. I'll tell you what. First give me the money, and then I'll give you the shtar. So at that point in time now I'm holding the money and I'm holding a note saying that I'm owed the money. Okay, thank you. We're done. Okay, and nobody's going to argue with that. And you're right. And even the Chachamim would agree to Admon. So keep Ligi Basra de Kasvi Sharva Hadi Yasvi Zuze. And so the Gemara says, but what if the minig is the opposite? The minig is that first you write a shtar and then afterwards, the money gets transferred. So Admon Savar Ibai Le Lemim Samoda. So Admon now will tell you the following. Look, I know that first the minig here is to transfer the shtar. But you know what I'll do? I'll let out an announcement before the shtar is transferred. And I'm telling Adam beforehand, look, I know we're going to transfer a shtar. I'm doing so under duress. I'm not really complying to the receiving of a shtar. Okay. The malva over here is giving the shtar over to the other. But I'm doing so under duress. That's a moda. We discussed yesterday moda. And v'rabbanan savrei, no, chavre chavre yisle, v'chavre de chavre chavre yisle. And what the Chachamim will tell you is that no, modas don't work. In other words, what's going to happen? I'm going to tell the Edom in advance, hey, you know what I'm going to do? I'm declaring that this shtar is under duress. And therefore, we're going to invalidate the shtar because I'm announcing in front beforehand. So what the Edom then are going to do is they're going to tell friends. Now, right, in other words, of course, they'll only tell one person at a time. It's a secret. But in other words, but as secrets go, this is going to be a really poorly kept secret. In other words, eventually what's going to happen is that the buyer is going to find out about it, about the moda, and it's just simply not going to work out. Okay, so where do we stand right now? So in the sixth psak of Admon, in the event that I'm holding a note against somebody, and then subsequent to that, I went ahead and I sold them a property, and now we're all wondering, why did you sell him a property? If in fact he owes you the money, why don't you just collect the money? So Admon says that question is so strong, so what it's going to do is that's going to invalidate the shtar. And although the Chachamim argue with Admon, okay, the What the Gemara did is the Gemara gave an ukimta, and when the Chachamim would argue with Admon, because the truth of the matter is Admon seems to be making an outstanding point. Okay, and finally, our seventh halacha over here, which will finish up the Amud Aleph of today's daf, and that is the following: Shnayim Shotzim Shtarchov Zalza. So let's say it's an old Western gunfight. Okay, so they're both drawing guns at each other, but instead of the guns over here, it's just simply Shtarichov. I'm holding a note outstanding against you. You're holding a note outstanding against me. And so we hold notes out against one another. Admon Omer. So so once again, over here, we're going to ask a simple question. The two stars were not dated the same date. Okay? So we have me holding the earlier star, and we have Phil holding the later star. And so the question becomes the following. Now, really, how could my earlier star have any validity towards it whatsoever? Meaning, if in fact my earlier star has any validity, why in the world would I be borrowing money from you? Why would I do that? In other words, you know what I would do? I would collect my obligation, and that's how I would get my money. So the fact that Phil has a later star is now challenging, understandably, my star. My star can't be good. Ketzer ata lova mimeni. Why in the world would you borrow money from me? Good. That is, that's Admon. V'chachamim omrim, zego v'sharchavo, v'zego v'sharchavo. And the Chachamim say that under these circumstances, what we're going to do is that we're going to be gove in both directions. I'll collect with my shtarchov, and Phil's going to collect with his shtarchov. Itmar. Okay, so there is much to understand over here in the Mishnah, meaning that the Chachamim's position really does need clarification. What Admon's point, once again, seems to be an outstanding point. So we need more clarity. Itmar. So shnaim shotziu shtarchov ze al ze. So over here in the Gemara, what we seem to be doing is having a machlokis amarayim on the identical subject that we just discussed in the Mishnah. And obviously, the Gemara is going to clear it up, because why in the world would the amarayim debate the exact same issue that we already discussed back in the Mishnah? And so we'll come back to that. But in the meantime, however, let's introduce ourselves to the positions. Rav Nachman amar zegove. Vizegoves, Rav Nachman will tell you, Zevizegove. They both collect. I'm holding a note against you, you're holding a note against me. Okay, good. So we're both going to collect. So Rav Shesha Amar Afuchim Atrasa Lamali. And Rav Shesha says, we're exchanging handbags. And they're identical. What's the point? So Ela Zeomeid Bishalom, Vizeomeid Bishalom. I'll tell you what, I'll hold mine, you'll hold yours. Okay. Now let's recall before we attempt to understand the upcoming Gemara. And I'm just telling you now, for the next 10-15 minutes, it's going to get confusing. And I'm going to try to the best of my ability to make this as clear as possible, but be forewarned. Okay. But let's remind each other. Okay. If I'm holding a note against you and it's a milvah bishtar and two witnesses signed on the document, it's a classic shtar. So under those circumstances, what does that allow me to do? Not only the ability to collect, but I have a lien on your property. Let's also remind ourselves that when it comes to properties, properties are graded three grades, either A, B, or C. Right? A being the best, C being the worst, being B, B being the middle. Okay? And B, just it's a good mnemonic to remember, Benus, of course. That's why it's called B. So the mid-grade property is Benus, and the top property is Idis. That's the A, right? Idis starts with the letter A. Okay, sorry, I'm being silly right now. And C is the Zivoris. Okay, and that's the worst property. Now, properties are graded objectively or subjectively. So, oddly enough, in today's daf, and we're going to hear this again in Baba Basra a number of times, oddly enough, that's the machlokus in terms of how the properties are graded. Is there an objective scale or is it a subjective scale? Stay tuned, as if you have not been introduced to this machlokus previously, you're going to be surprised. You would think, as I would, you don't have to agree with me, but intuitively, I think these gradings would have been an objective grading system. It would make life much easier. However, there is an opinion out there, as we'll see in today's daf, that it's not to be graded objectively, but rather subjective grading. Okay. Also, one more thing that we need to remember, and that is that when you are a Baal Chov and you're collecting property, so which property do you collect against your Chov? Beinonis. You collect the mid-grade property. The general rule of thumb is that when it comes to Nezek, so that is to be collected with Idis, the best property. Baal Chov collects with Beinonis. and a woman with a ksuva collects zibaris, and there are other occasions also that you collect with zibaris. Yisomim, right? When you're collecting from yisomim, you collect with zibaris, not with beninus, even though you're holding a note against the yisomim. Okay. A lot of just basic information. Now, what just happened over here? We had a machlokus between Amorayim, between Rav Nachman and Rav Sheshes. What happens when I'm holding a shtar against you and you're holding a shtar against me? So Rav Nachman's of the position that we're both going to collect. Rav Sheshes says, why in the world would we do that? All we're doing is just exchanging the same thing. Okay.
Ah,
okay. So now, oh yes. In other words, amounts are going to be the same. Amounts are going to be the same. Okay, so there are other variables which we're going to consider. Dikule alma idis. So look, if let's say you have Edis and I have Edis, and alternatively you have Benis, I have Benis, alternatively you have Zibaris and I have Zibaris. So at that point in time, no argument. Meaning, what are we going to do? I'm going to give you my Edis and you're going to give your Edis. It's just a swap of the same item, the same quality of property. Okay. And no one's going to debate that point. And Rav Nachman would agree to Rav Sheshes. Ki pligi. So now, we know there's a machlokas between Rav Nachman and Rav Sheshes. When? So, ki pligi de Israel lechad benus lechad zibaris. Ah. So one has benus and the other one has zibaris. So, let's say, right, and let's illustrate. So now, Phil, I'll have the benus and you'll have the zibaris. Rav Nachman savra zegovem. So Rav Nachman says now they're both going to collect. Why? Savar b'shalo ein shamin. Because when grading the property, Rav Nachman's of the position, there is not objective grading, but rather subjective grading. So also bal zibaris v'gabal lebeinunis. And so what's going to happen is now is the following. The bal zibaris, that's you, Phil. So you're going to come and you're going to collect beinunis. And now the... So now you had zibaris, now you have benus. Dehave gabe idis. Now, because it's subjective grading, so now that benus that you're holding is a property. And this is why I mentioned just moments earlier, this is where it's going to get confusing. But again, once you entertain the idea of subjective grading, so when you had the zibaris by itself, okay. But now that you have benus, so vis-a-vis you, it now becomes a property. Now, v'aseh v'shakel zibaris. Now, what I'm going to take now, because I'm now also entitled, but I'm only entitled to beinonis. But because it's subjectively graded, so now the only thing I'm going to get in exchange is going to be the zibaris property. Aren't I entitled to beinonis property? Yes, but because it's graded subjectively, and because right now you're holding B and C, your B and C now become A and B, and therefore, I'm only going to be able to take the B. Okay. That is the opinion of Rav Nachman, as opposed to Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes Amar, Hafuchim Atras Alamali, So Kasavar Bishal Kol Adam Heim Shamim, So, Ki Asa Ahu, Benus, De Nafshe, Kashakel. And what Rav Sheshes will tell you is that no, is that the properties are not graded subjectively, they're graded objectively. So what's going to happen? Benus will go to you, Benus will come back to me. I'm going to end up getting the same Benus. So in other words, so there was no point in doing that exchange, as I'm just going to end up with the same thing that I gave. Okay. Ula Rav Nachman, my chazes, dasi bal ziboris bereisha. So leise bal beinus bereisha, velig be ziboris, velahadar velig be niale. So the Gemara says, okay, but even according to Rav Nachman, meaning according to Rav Sheshes, there was no point in the swap, as we're just basically getting the same thing back. But even according to Rav Nachman, in other words, the case was illustrated really well when the Baal Zibaris took the Beinonis property. How about we flip it? How about the Baal Beinonis takes the Zibaris property? So the Baal Beinonis goes in, takes first, and he takes the Zibaris property. Now, v'lahadu v'lig b'ne'ale. And now in exchange, not in exchange, and then the other person is going to go ahead and he's going to take, and under those circumstances, what is he going to take? So the he's going to take beinonis property. So the and under those circumstances, he's going to be taking the same property that he gave. So even according to Rav Nachman, it could end up becoming the same swap. So lo tzricha dekadem tave. So the Gemara says, you're right. You're absolutely right. So, but according to Rav Nachman, we're speaking only about a case where the Baal Zibor is grabbed first. And in that case, it would make a difference, like we illustrated just moments earlier. So the Gemara says, I don't understand. When they're collecting, aren't they coming and collecting at the same time? So So the Gemara says, okay, so no. So we're going to do the following. We're going to do this again, meaning we're going to illustrate a case where there's going to be a difference between Rav Sheshes and Rav Nachman, and it's not going to be totally on who collected first because they both are collecting at the same time. But we're just, all we're doing is just fine-tuning the nafkamina of when we're going to see a real difference between Rav Nachman and Rav Sheshes. One person is holding A and B property. The other person is holding C property. Now, Mar Savar B'Shalo Ein Shaman, or Mar Savar B'Shal Kol Adam Ein Shaman. Okay, so now here's a good illustration. Meaning, according to Rav Sheshes, so it doesn't matter who took first, right? I have A and B, Phil's got C. So what's going to happen? According to Rav Sheshes, it'll be the following. He's going to take my B property. I have the A and B. He'll take my B property, and I'll go to him, and I'll take B property. And we ended up just swapping B properties. Okay, and there was no point in doing so. Masha'enkin, according to Rav Nachman, so Rav Nachman says everything is going to be graded subjectively, and here it doesn't matter who took first. Meaning, I'm holding A and B, Phil's holding C. According to Rav Nachman, now when I go ahead and give him the C property, then it doesn't matter which way we're going, when I go ahead and give him the C property, so from my standpoint, that was the best that I had. But meanwhile, when I go ahead now and I collect, so I'm going to be collecting B property. Because he's holding now A, B, and C. Okay? And again, it would work in either side of the exchange. Okay, fine. So where are we right now? So we have a machlokes between Rav Nachman and Rav Sheshes. In the event that I'm holding a shtar against you, you're holding a shtar against me, so Rav Sheshes' position is there's no point. There's no point in collecting because all we're doing is swapping out dollar for dollar, or in this case, property for property, and you don't gain and I don't gain, and there's no point. That is the shita of Rav Sheshes. On the other hand, Rav Nachman says, no, there is a point, because there will be cases where it will not be a fair swap. But again, the reason why it's not going to be fair is simply because properties are not judged objectively, they're judged subjectively. And based on the subjective nature of the judging of properties, so it can end up that I'm going to be losing a zibaris and gaining a bainanus. Okay, so therefore we are going to swap out. This is the machlok between Rav Nachman and Rav Sheshes, and it's all a function of how properties are graded. Good. Now with all that stated, let's go back to our Mishnah. Meaning this machlok is Rav Nachman and Rav Sheshes. How did they learn the Mishnah? Tanan. V'chachamim marmim zegove v'zegove. So what do the chachamim say? That this one collects and that one collects. And meanwhile, Rav Sheshes is looking at the Chachamim, and Rav Sheshes has to be wondering. There's no need to do that. Why in the world would you do that? So Tirgam of Rav Nachman, Aliba to Rav Sheshes, could go and Shalav Vizela Eser, Vizela Chamesh. So the Gemara says, okay. So what Rav Sheshes will do? And by the way, just a wonderful point over here, which we've highlighted numerous times, because the Gemara it happens in the Gemara on a number of occasions, and that is. Is that who's defending Rav Sheshes? Rav Nachman. Meaning Rav Nachman's arguing with Rav Sheshes, that's true. But in other words, they're not fighting, they're not debating, they're not fighting so they can prove who's better, who's smarter, and who's going to win the debate. In other words, what they're trying to do is they get to the Emes, and as far as getting to the Emes is concerned, so if it means Rav Nachman can defend Rav Sheshes, of course Rav Nachman's going to defend Rav Sheshes. Good. So anyway, so over here, hey Chidami. So the Gemara says, okay, so, there's another variable thrown into the discussion, which is that the terms of one loan is 10 years and the term of the other loan is 5 years. So the Gemara says, wait one second. I need to understand that better. Elam Rishon Leser Visheni Lechamesh Baalem Admon Ilu Haisi Chavlecha Kesar Atalava Mimeni. So Halamatas Mane. So I don't understand. If let's say the first loan was for 10 years and the second loan was for 5 years. So then Admon said, well, if the first loan was good, so why in the world did I go ahead and borrow money from you? In other words, what I should have done is I should have just collected the loan. No. It wasn't yet due. It's not due yet for another decade. Okay. So it can't be. So Ella Rishon Lechamesh Veshein Lesser. So it must be that the first one was for 5 and the second one was for 10. Oh, okay, fine. First one was for 5, second one was for 10. So the Gemara says, Hey Chidami. The Gemara says, okay, so then let me see if I can understand that. So now, if the loan is already due, the 5-year loan is already due, so then how could the Chachamim argue with Admon? Meaning, Admon's point is that if, in fact, the money's due, why in the world did you borrow money from me? Okay, which is a compelling argument. And how could the Chachamim argue with that? So the Gemara says, And if the loan yet wasn't due, so then we're back to square one. So the Gemara says, well, my time of the Admon. And what would be the reason behind Admon? So lo tzricha da'asabahu yuma damashlim chamesh. So the Gemara says, what happens is the following, and that is that when did he come to borrow the money? When did the first lender come to borrow the money from the borrower? A day before the loan was due. Now, mar savar inish avid inish diyazev liyume. Mar savar lo avid inish diyazev liyume. Now, in terms of short-term loans, in other words, do people borrow money for a day? Okay. Number of check cashing places would indicate that yes, people do. But nevertheless, the Gemara says that's the machlokus between Admon and the Chachamim. And so, is it a feasible argument to say that, look, you know, he came to borrow money just for one day? Is that a feasible argument? Yes or no? The Gemara says that's the machlokus between Admon and the Chachamim. Okay. So, again, where are we right now? So, we have a machlokus between Rav Sheshes and Rav Nachman. I'm holding a note against you. You're holding a note against me. Rav Sheshes says, what's the point? Meaning, we're not going to go and collect because there's no point in collecting. And again, the Rav Sheshes is a predicate of the fact that I'm going to collect Beinonis, you're going to collect Beinonis, so the properties are objectively graded, and then there was no point in doing any of that. Good. And Rav Nachman disagrees, but in the meantime, however, for Rav Sheshes, so we got a lot of explaining to do. Because in the Mishnah, the Chachamim told us, Zegova v'Zegova, they're both going to collect. And how is Rav Sheshes understanding the Mishnah? So right now, we gave one approach of how Rav Sheshes is going to understand the Mishnah, and that is that one note is not yet due, it'll be due tomorrow. And then the question becomes, do people lend money for a day? That's one way to explain how Rav Sheshes is explaining the Mishnah. We're going to have now a second approach. Rami Bar Chama. Rami Bar Chama Amar, Hachabi Asme Askinan, Di Yasme Migbe Gabe, Agbu Elo Magbina Minayu. So the Gemara says, okay, I have a proposal. One lender is the principal, and the other lender is the estate of the principal. Rachmanis, the other lender died, and now what happened was that the kids are inheriting. They're inheriting the account receivable and the account payable. Now, what do we know vis-a-vis Yisomim? Do they collect account receivables? Do they collect their father's notes? Of course they do. In other words, it's part of the Yerusha. So if there's an account receivable coming into dad, they're going to go ahead and be able to collect it. Accounts payable. Do the kids have to pay the debts of their father? So if there are properties, so there's going to be a lien on the property. But if there are no properties, no. So the kids don't pay. So the Gemara says that is the case that's being discussed in the Mishnah. So the under those circumstances, we're no longer just exchanging handbags over here. So the Gemara says, wait one second. Did you read the Mishnah? Hazegova v'zegova ketani. Yeah, that's not what the Mishnah says. The Mishnah says they both collect. So the Gemara attempts. The Gemara says, well, so maybe what the Mishnah meant was that this one collects and this one should collect but can't. So Amar Rav Sheshuvas Badavar. So Rav says to Rami Bar Chama, I'm really bothered by your pshat. Number one, first of all, that's not what the Mishnah says. Meaning, it's nice that you want to give a pshat in the Mishnah, but I'm reading the words of the Mishnah. And the Mishnah is pretty clear. They're both collecting. And the Gemara says, and ligbo ara liyasme, and lehadav ligban minayu. So the Gemara says, and on top of that, I have the following suggestion. And that would be the following. Let's say somebody owes the estate money, and at the same time, the estate owes him money. You know what you can do? I'll give you a strategy, and we've gone over this strategy before. And that is that when you pay the estate, you know how you're going to pay the estate? Don't pay the estate with cash. Pay the estate with property. Now what's going to happen is that you are holding a lien against the estate. So you know what's going to happen? Once the estate gets property, so now that property is going to be saddled with the lien. So, lehadav ligban minayu k'drav nachman. Damar av nachman, amar av abaravua. Yisomu shagavu karka b'chovas aviyem. When the kids are collecting property in satisfaction of any monies owed to dad. So, b'chov chozer v'gova osamehem. So what's going to happen now is that those properties will be saddled with a lien of any creditors who have a lien against that property. So the Gemara says, "V'lukme de isla liyasme zibars v'isla lidide idis." So the Gemara says, "Okay, how about this? How about we're talking about a case where the estate only has zibars property, and their counter litigant has idis property? So v'beinanis d'asla liyasme gavu beinanis." Idis of Beninus. Da'azli yasme v'gav of Beninus of Magbelu Zibaris. Because what's going to happen now is the following. It won't be the same properties being swapped between the two parties. Why? Again, a point that I made in the intro. And that is that when Yisomim pay any outstanding debts of their father, they only play with Zibaris. They collect Beninus, but they play Zibaris. Even if I'm going with the Rav Sheshit's model of objective grading, so but here's a basic rule in terms of debt collection, and that is that when you're collecting from Yisomim, you only collect Zibaris. So the Gemara says that's true, but if you're Tofes, in other words, if you go ahead and you grab Beinonis, so the Tfisa works, meaning you're right. You should have collected Zibaros, but a tefis on Beinonis does in fact work. Okay, so fine. So that won't necessarily be a nafkamina. It could be a nafkamina, but it won't necessarily be a nafkamina between them. Okay, Adkan, that takes us to the end of number 6 and 7 for Admon and the first half of today's daf. Okay, very good. Let's quickly summarize, because the truth of the matter is from this point going forward, it's going to be a totally new topic. Which will take us really to the end of the Masechta. Okay, so what have we seen so far? Number 6, which is the top of Kuf Yud Amud Aleph, is what happens where I'm holding a note against you, and what happens is that afterwards, I went ahead and I purchased a property from you. And so now, Admon is wondering, if in fact, you owed me money, why in the world did I sell you a property subsequent to the loan? Why not just simply collect the money and be done with it? That was Admon's point. The Chachamim disagree. Chachamim said maybe he's such a pikeach because now his bar is going to have property, and now he's got, in other words, it serves as a mashkon against his loan, security against his loan. He's such a pikeach. Okay, Admon's point seems to be outstanding, and so what the Gemara did is that the Gemara tried to understand why would the Chachamim disagree with Admon? Okay, that was number one. And the second point that we covered in the first half of today's daf is that we're holding notes one against the other, and so under those circumstances, what do we do? So Admon says, I'm trying to understand. If you owe me money, why in the world did you borrow money from me? Again, a similar argument that was made previously. And the Chachamim say, no, each one is going to collect. Okay, so the first thing, the Gemara brought down a machlokes between Rav Nachman and Rav Sheshes. When two people have notes outstanding, one against the other, what do? Rav Nachman says, collect, each collect. And Rav Sheshes says, no, why would you do that? All you're doing is you're swapping handbags. And then what we pointed out that really Rav Nachman and Rav Sheshes are arguing about is that when you're collecting against a loan and you're foreclosing on property, so how are properties graded? Are they graded objectively? That's Rav Sheshes' viewpoint. Are they graded subjectively? Rav Nachman's viewpoint. And then the Gemara illustrated how that would actually play out as a practical difference. It does. It would play out as a practical difference. And then for Rav Sheshes, who says that there's no point in swapping. In just exchanging obligations, when meanwhile I'm getting the same property that that I gave. So then, how did Rav Sheshis understand the Mishnah? And the Gemara gave us two ways of how Rav Sheshis understood the Mishnah. Okay. We are on the very bottom of Kuf Yud Amud Aleph, Shal Shar Tzos L'Nisuin. So as far as Eretz Yisrael, we're going to divide them into three different regions. Yehuda, Eivor HaYarden, Galil. So Yehuda is basically the south. Eivor HaYarden is the east of the Jordan River, and Galil. And Galil is typically the north, traditionally the north. So Ein Motzi in Meir Leir. So what you can't do is you can't move from Yehuda to Galil. In other words, you can't compel your spouse to move from one province to the other province. Mikrach Lekrach. However, if you decide that you want to move and it's better and you're within the same region, so then what you can do is that you can move, but it's got to be a horizontal move. In other words, from one krach to another, from one ear to another ear. However, as we turn to the Amud Beis, avalomi ear lekrach, avalomi krach leir, but you can't move from krach to ear and not from ear to krach. Okay, just in terms of definition, krach, the big city. Rashi describes, markets abound. In other words, you can get anything you want in the krach. Okay? We had this chus once upon a time living in Kew Garden Hills. Okay, so for those who are familiar, so you go down Main Street in Kew Garden Hills, and I'm going back many years that we lived in Kew Garden Hills, but we lived in Kew Garden Hills, and back in the day, Main Street, everything. Nowadays, it's beyond everything. Every time I go back there, I'm just more amazed in terms of like, how could there be more stores? Okay, there are. Okay, so, and now, I live out of town. I live in an ear now. Good. Nah. Beautiful one. So what you can't do is that you can't go from krach to ear, from ear to krach. All this is going to be explained. Motzi minave, rala nave yafe. If you want to upgrade, you were living in a nave ra'a, and you want to move to a nave yafe, so you can tell your spouse, we're moving. Okay, and you can compel, meaning because we're upgrading, so you can compare. Okay, good. Right? Avalo minave yafe l'nave ra'a. But you can't go in the other direction. Shimon Gamliel, Amir Aflo Minavara, Lanavi Yafa, Mimne, Shanava Yafa Bodek. And Shimon Gamliel says, no. If let's say you decide, I want to upgrade, and the Rebbetzin says, not interesting in upgrading. So according to Shimon Gamliel, she has a taina. Okay? And the language of the Mishnah, Mimne Shanava Hayafa Bodek, it examines. Okay, stay tuned. Obviously, what we're going to do is we're going to understand all this a lot better. Now, Bishlama Mikrach Le'ir. Okay, so what we're looking for over here in the Mishnah is just basic understanding of the Mishnah. In other words, we're having a disagreement between husband and wife in terms of where we want to move. Okay, so within regions of Eretz Yisrael, so you have to stay within your region. Okay, I imagine, by the way, in other words, what the Gemara doesn't really explain is why can't you move from Yehuda to Galil? Or let me say it better. Why can't you compel your spouse to move from Yehuda to Galil? Or from Galil to Eivor HaYarden? So I imagine that because the Minhagim are so wildly different from one place to another, right? In other words, in our own Masechta, we already saw a number of examples of how Minhagim differ from one to another. And I'm saying Minhagim, it's not just Minhagim, whatever. It's a different lifestyle. Okay. However, if it's a lateral move, meaning if you're within Yehuda and you want to go from one krach to another krach, fine. You want to go from one ear to another ear, that's fine. But what you can't go is from krach to ear, from ear to krach, and that's where the Gemara starts off in terms of explaining. So Bishlam and Mikrach Le'ir, I understand krach. Again, krach is big city, everything available, just walk down Main Street and everything's there. So Bishlam and Mikrach Le'ir, the Bikrach Shecha Komili, Be'ir Lo Shecha Komili. Because what happens is that when you live in the krach and you want to get anything, so you just walk down Main Street and you get anything. At any time, by the way. So, elami ir lekrach my taima. So, but why can't you compel the spouse to go from ir to krach? We're moving to Kew Garden Hills. Can you imagine? So, misayil le Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina, damar Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina, minan shi yeshivas krachim kasheh. So the Gemara says, and we all know this, and that is Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina says, because living in the city is not easy. Shenemar v'yivrachu am l'chol anashim hamiznadvim l'sheves b'Yerushalayim. So in Sefer Nehemiah, so as they go ahead and they come back to Eretz Yisrael, and you know, and Zionism 1.0 or 2.0, by the way, in other words, the second Commonwealth, right? The first one is, you know, from the Midbar, from Mitzrayim, but here we are now, second time they're going into Eretz Yisrael. And now anyone want to move to Yerushalayim? And everyone's shaking their head. Nope, nope, thank you. And what does Nehemiah do? He gives them a bracha. And look at the lashon, mitnadvim. In other words, I need volunteers to move to Yerushalayim. Anybody? Anybody? Okay. So it's pretty clear in the pasuk in Nehemiah that the move to Yerushalayim was not that popular. Okay. It's funny. The Gemara doesn't give so much an explanation as just simply, I'm showing you, a raya. It's kasha. It's kasha. It's difficult to live in the city. I guess the Gemara just simply understands it's so intuitive that the moving to the city is not something that, that people are really looking forward to do. Meaning what?
That the wife wants to move.
Presumably. In fact, in the upcoming Gemaras, it's going to be clear. Okay. Shimon Gamliel Omer, my bodek. Now, Shimon Gamliel says is that if you want to move from Nave, well, before we get to Shimon Gamliel, moving from Nave Yafe to Nave Ra'a, no. The Tanakhama says, obviously. In other words, what do you want to do? You want to downgrade? Thank you, but no thank you. However, if you want to upgrade, so then compulsion. That's the Tanakhama. And Shimon Gamliel says, no. Even from even from Nave Ra'a to Nave Yafe, you can't compel. So the Gemara says, I need to understand that better. Now the Mishnah gave an explanation. Mimnei shezeh bodek. Mimnei shanava yafa bodek. Because when you upgrade, what it does is that it examines. Okay, let's understand that a little bit better. My bodek. Kedishmol damrshmol shinu evest tchilas chole me'ayim. So the Gemara says, look, you're used to, we are all creatures of habits. This is Shmuel's position. He introduces us to this idea multiple times throughout Shas. We are all creatures of habits. And what we hate to do is change. Everybody hates change. Okay? And anytime you make any kind of significant change in your life, so tchilas kholim me'ayim. So he describes it as indigestion and stomach pains. Okay? Right, correct. In other words, we were used to a simple lifestyle. And now what do you want? You want me to go through elegance? No, thank you. I like my simple lifestyle. So, Kasab Sefer Mitzira Kol Yimei Ani Ra'im. Okay, written in Sefer Ben Sira. Okay, we're treated every now and then to various psukim within Sefer Ben Sira. What is Sefer Ben Sira? We've gone over this numerous times. It's Sefer Chitzoni. It's a book that didn't make it canon. In other words, 24 books made into Tanakh, they were canonized, and Sefer Ben Sira didn't make it. Okay, who is Ben Sira? When did he write Sefer Ben Sira? Okay, not for now. Anyway, but the Gemara, however, quotes him all the time. Okay, I'm not giving a numeric answer how many times the Gemara quotes him, but it's not uncommon. And so over here, Sefer Ben Sira. Sefer Ben Sira is a lot like Mishlei. In fact, this is a good example. Because Sefer Ben Sira is going to start with a pasuk in Mishlei, and Sefer Ben Sira says, I'm going to disagree just a little bit. So, because of Sefer Ben Sira, I'll call you may Ani Ra'im. The life of a poor person is raw. It's really tough to be poor. And so now that really is a pasuk in Mishlei. What Sefer Ben Sira is going to do is I'm going to add to that. Va'ika Shabbosus v'yamim tovim. So the Gemara says, now wait one second. Every day? What about Shabbos? What about Yantiv? So Kiddush Shmuel, Damar Shmuel, Shinui, Vest, Tchilas Cholem Me'ayim. Oh. So for the only reason why the Gemara brings this up right now is because of this point right over here. Which is that, look, even when you're an ani, so Shabbos, in other words, you have food on Shabbos, the Gemara says, yeah, but you didn't have food the whole week, and your ration during the whole week was so small, and Shabbos now, you're eating big, and what happens is, at the end of every Shabbos, so right now, your stomach is, you're feeling terrible. Okay? And, good. That's what happens every single Shabbos. We eat too much. And so, even when you're an ani, and even when you get to eat on Shabbos, you don't really get to enjoy it. Because it's change, and change is always difficult. Ben Sira Omer af Leilos. Now, what Ben Sira, Ben Sira just adds to that pasuk in Mishlei, because the pasuk in Mishlei says Kol Hayamim of the Ani Yisra'im, and Ben Sira says I'd like to add also that their nights are no good as well, and Bishval Gagim Gago, and Uvamarim Harim Karmo, and Mimshar Gagim Lagago, or me Arfar Karmola Karamin. And what's going to happen is that basically because you're an Ani, so your property is going to be always in the worst location. Rashi describes that when you fertilize your field and you weren't able to buy down in the valley, you had to buy up in the mountain. And Rashi describes that when you fertilize your field, what's going to happen to all your fertilizer? It's going to slide down the mountain and it's going to go into other people's properties. So even as you're sleeping at night, you're losing money. In other words, the life of an Ani is constantly losing. Okay. Next. Okay, so far what we discussed is compulsion of moving within Eretz Yisrael. Now, next topic of discussion, and we're going to finish up today with this, and we'll do a little bit more for today, but tomorrow's going to be the big daf in terms of Aliyah. So, HaKol Malon Eretz Yisrael Ve'en HaKol Motzi'en, HaKol Malon Yerushalayim Ve'en HaKol Motzi'en, Echad Anashim Ve'Echad Anashim. Okay, so, everyone is Malon Eretz Yisrael, but not everyone's going to be motzi. So in other words, if one of the spouses wants to say to the other, let's go to Eretz Yisrael, and the other one says, nope. So in other words, mala. So what we're going to do is compulsion. And the same thing is going to be true in terms of leaving Eretz Yisrael. Meaning, if one of the spouses say, let's go, and the other one says, no, compulsion. Compulsion to stay in Eretz Yisrael. Similarly, even within Eretz Yisrael, the same thing can be said regarding Yerushalayim. We're moving to Yerushalayim. And the other spouse says, no, we're not. So, Rachmanis, it's funny, but it's totally not funny. So no, we're not. So in other words, so under those circumstances, the move to Yerushalayim can be compelled. Same thing with leaving Yerushalayim. We're leaving Yerushalayim. No, we're not. So, Nasa Isha Be'eretz Yisrael, Girsha Be'eretz Yisrael, Nosin La, Mimas Be'eretz Yisrael. So if you marry a woman in Eretz Yisrael and you regorish her, and you divorce her in Eretz Yisrael, so what you're going to do is no sin la maos Eretz Yisrael. So the currency you're going to give is Eretz Yisrael currency. Just to get a brief introduction over here. So in other words, there were different currencies, obviously based on nationalities and based on countries. And not all currencies were the same. Look, we have this to this very day, but our view of currencies are not the same as their currencies. Their currencies were actual coins that were made of real metals and, in other words, had a real intrinsic value. Our currencies are fiat currencies. Okay, I learn more as we get to the world of more and more fiat currencies. I understand this better and better. But anyways, it's not the same. But even back in the day, certain currencies were better than others. Okay? There's a country called Kaputkia. Don't ask me. I can't help you. Right? Turkey, right? Okay, fine. So there's a country called Kaputkia. The money in Kaputkia, the currency in Kaputkia was outstanding. It was a better currency than the one in Eretz Yisrael. So, if you marry and divorce in Eretz Yisrael, so you're paying out money in currency of Eretz Yisrael. Nasi Isha Eretz Yisrael, Vigershika be Kaputkia, Nosin Lami Marza Eretz Yisrael. You marry in Eretz Yisrael, you divorce in Kaputkia, so you only have to pay her in Eretz Yisrael currency. Not as good, but okay. And Nasa Isha be Kaputkia Vigersha Be'eretz Yisrael, Nosin La Maos Be'eretz Yisrael. You marry her in Kaputkia, you divorce in Eretz Yisrael, you pay her in Eretz Yisrael currency. And Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer, no. In this example, Nosin La Maos Kaputkia. No, you have to give her currency of Kaputkia. Nasa Isha be Kaputkia Vigersha be Kaputkia, Nosin La Maos be Kaputkia. You marry in Kaputkia, you divorce in Kaputkia, you pay her in Kaputkia money. Okay, this portion over here, we're gonna discuss in just a moment. But okay, you can compel the family to move to Eretz Yisrael. Now that includes what? In other words, hakol. Every single time throughout Shas, we see the word hakol. It's a ribui. It's coming to include. What is it coming to include over here? You're avadim, right? You're telling the whole family we're moving, right? You're Eved Kanani. Hey, we're moving. He comes too. Now, some have the gears in the Mishnah where the word Eved is in the Mishnah. So then, what's the Hakol coming to add? It's coming to add the following. We live beautifully outside of Eretz Yisrael. Okay, we're going to have to downsize to go to Eretz Yisrael. Hakol. That's coming to include even that as well. Mishum Yeshivas Eretz Yisrael. And so let's say your Eved Kanani is ran away to Eretz Yisrael. So at that point in time, he has the right to say to you, look, sanctuary, I made it to Eretz Yisrael, and now, right, what's it called? I don't mean to make you have a financial loss. You'll sell me so that you'll recover your money, but I get to stay here in Eretz Yisrael. Why? Because there's a mitzvah of Yeshiva Aretz.
Is he commanded in that mitzvah?
Right? And it absolutely sounds that way. Right? Ben's asking whether or not he has a mitzvah of Yeshiva Eretz Yisrael. In other words, the Gemara doesn't flinch at this argument. Meaning, the Gemara says it like as if it's a Dover Pasha. Okay? Hakol malin Yerushalayim lasui emai lasui eminavi yafeh lenavi ra'a. Right? The compulsion to go to Yerushalayim, even if you're downgrading to go to Yerushalayim. Ein hakol motzi'in lasui emai lasui afilu minavi ra'a lenavi yafeh. Now, leaving Yerushalayim, let's say the choice is now we can leave Yerushalayim, but we're going to have a nicer house. No, can't do it. Can't compel. Okay. And as far as the Mishnah is concerned, the Mishnah likes the parallel language. Okay, so Rachmanis. So he says we're going to Eretz Yisrael. She says, oh, no, we're not. So now, it's grounds for divorce, and not only that, but because she's refusing to go to Eretz Yisrael, forfeiture for Ksuva. So he omers la'alos, v'omers la'alos, kofenos la'alos, v'im lav yotzi v'tein Ksuva. Similarly, if let's say she says we're going to Eretz Yisrael, and he says no, we're not, so there, it's grounds for divorce, we will compel him, and because she wants to go to Eretz Yisrael, she is not forfeiting her Ksuva. He owes her Ksuva. He omers latzeis v'hu omers shalol latzeis kofenos social latzeis v'im lav teitzei below Ksuva. And now, he says we're not leaving Eretz Yisrael, she says, oh yes, we are. So in other words, so he now is in the driver's seat in terms of this debate, and now either A, he compels her to stay, or B, divorce, and she forfeits her ksuva. Hu omer latzeis v'hi omer shalol latzeis kofenos social latzeis v'im lav yotzi v'yitein ksuva. So he wants to leave Eretz Yisrael, she does not want to leave Eretz Yisrael. So right now we're going to basically try to convince him to stay. Alternatively, he'll divorce her, but because she's the one who wants to stay in Eretz Yisrael, she has not forfeited ksuva. Okay, let's pause over here regarding the ksuva. We'll start with the ksuva discussion tomorrow. Okay, good. Let's quickly recap our day today. First half of today's daf kuf yud amud aleph. So we went through 6 and 7 of Admon. Right, there were 7 gzeiros altogether of Admon in today's daf and Mishnah. That's on the top of the Amud and the middle of the Amud. So we went over Zegzeros number 6 and 7. Basically, the lender losing his ability to collect his money. Why? Because of evidence that would indicate that his loan is, for whatever reason, no longer due. Either because after the lender lended the money, he sold the property to the borrower. Why in the world would he have done that? Why wouldn't he have just collected his loan? That's number 6. Number 7... After lending money, what does he do? He borrows money from his borrower. Why in the world would he have done that? Good. So in both cases, Admon says he has now totally taken away his credibility of his outstanding loan. Right, his loan is no longer outstanding. And so, and what we went over in the Gemara is the back and forth between why the Chachamim argue in the first case and the second case. We spent a lot of time in the Amud Aleph today going over the machlokas between Rav Sheshes and Rav Nachman. I'm holding a note against you. You're holding a note against me. So Rav Sheshes says, what's the point? Well, all we're doing is we're exchanging the same item back and forth. There's no point. Rav Nachman says there is a point. So what was the machlokes between Rav Nachman and Rav Sheshes? So as we explained in today's daf, so what they're arguing about is how properties are graded, objectively or subjectively. Rav Sheshes goes with an objective grading of land. Rav Nachman goes with a subjective grading of land. So for Rav Sheshes, it's always going to be an even swap. And according to Rav Nachman, no, it's not. It's not always going to be an even swap. So we went over the details of all that in the Amud Aleph. On the Amud Beis, so now we're talking about moving from town to city, from city to town, from one place in Eretz Yisrael to another place in Eretz Yisrael. And then the second Mishnah today, we went over, what if you want to go to Eretz Yisrael? What if you want to go to Yerushalayim? What if you want to leave Eretz Yisrael? What if you want to leave Yerushalayim? What do we do in domestic disputes between husband and wife? And the Mishnah over here outlines what the halachas are.